Well, we're talking about wicked women, and the specific one that we're looking at last time and this time is Delilah. And to really understand Delilah, we've got to understand a little bit about her victim, Samson. And basically attempt to see why Samson became a victim of Delilah. By understanding why he became a victim will help you and me not become one, okay? So what I told you was is that Delilah lures a person in, spins sort of a web, lures them in to trust and love with a fictitious trust and love of her own that she projects. The person does love Delilah. And the whole time, it's nothing but greed that Delilah's wanting. She doesn't care about the person. She just wants greed. She's a greedy, greedy person. That's what Delilah is. What ends up happening is the trust gets so great that, as it were, you put your head in her lap. That's what Samson did, and we'll look at it in a short while. You put your head in her lap, and it's there where she emasculates your supernatural power. You're seized by your enemies. You are put in shackles. Your vision is gouged out. You never get it back. And in your attempt to get your life back, you die. That's the full scope of Delilah. Delilah is deadly. Now, Samson had a supernatural birth. The angel of the Lord came to his parents, to Samson's parents, and they were barren. And supernaturally, Samson was birthed. He was to live a supernatural life. He was to have a supernatural power. But also, along with all of that, he had a supernatural weakness. Women. You and I have, as it is with being born again, we have had a supernatural birth as Christ followers. We are to live a supernatural lifestyle. And you have been given the Holy Spirit, and you have been given supernatural power. Whether you use it or not, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are resident in your life. But as Samson, each of us has a supernatural weakness. And I say supernatural because your weakness becomes supernatural when you give in to it, when you conceive to it. Because where this leads is to Delilah. Becomes supernatural. And you'll end up with your vision gouged out for your life and for your family. You'll end up in shackles and in bondages. This is what Delilah does. And your supernatural birth and your supernatural power, your supernatural life is no match for your supernatural weaknesses in the hands of wicked Delilah. This is why Samson became victim. He succumbed to his weakness, and it controlled his life. Okay. Now, in the natural, Delilah was a woman. But I have met some girly man Delilahs. In fact, all of the wicked women in type that we've been looking at, all of them had their girly man counterparts. And the girly man counterpart for Delilah is a greedy man who will project himself as he's got it all together, prosperous, prospering, spinning a web, and draws you in. Draws you into what seems to be fun and seems to be what you want, but in the whole time it's just this person's greed. And they will use you, and they will sell you. He doesn't love you. He's a girly man, Delilah. You'll end up with your vision gone, gouged out, and you'll never get it back if you stay in the presence of Delilah. Now, what's Samson doing? We left off last time, and Samson is running around all of Philistine, checking out their chicks. He's checking out all the prostitutes. He's having big time with the enemy's women. And then something happens. And this is about where we left off last time. So we'll start reading scriptures right here. In Judges chapter 16, verse 4, it says this. Sometime later, he, Samson, fell in love. He did what? He fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. There she is. The rulers, and hold on to that thought, rulers, because I'm going to make that relevant to us in just a moment. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, see if you can lure him. Now this is what Delilah does. Delilah lures us, spins a web and lures us into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. That's the purpose of the rulers. They want him tied up and subdued. And each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. Now, there was five of them. So that's 5,500 shekels of silver. We talked about it last time. This is a fortune for her. This is a fortune in that economy. Now, Samson fell in love with Delilah. Delilah was not a prostitute. Delilah was a woman who lived in Sorek. And she had his heart in her hand. Now, these rulers already knew the weakness of Delilah. It was greed. And so they went and used her greed to get Samson. They went and they offered her a fortune. And Delilah now could live like a queen for the rest of her life. And all she had to do was manipulate this unstable man, manipulate him, and find out his secret. So they knew Delilah's weakness of greed, but they didn't know exactly. They knew Samson's supernatural strength wasn't natural. It wasn't because he was going to the gym and having good workouts every day. It wasn't because he had this healthy diet. It wasn't because he was injecting himself with steroids. That's not why he was supernatural. They knew there was a secret to his supernatural strength. They didn't know what it was. They wanted to find it out. And they also knew that Samson not only had a supernatural power and strength, but he also had a supernatural weakness. Women. And the rulers were going to use Delilah to work on his weakness. And they did. So, the rulers were working on him. Now, there's a very interesting scripture in the book of Ephesians that I want to read to you about rulers. Here's what it says. Now this relates to you and me. In Ephesians 6:12 it says this: for our struggle, our Christians, our Christ followers, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against what? The rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, this is the exact same thing that was happening with Samson. The rulers will use, and the powers in heavenly realms will use your weakness and my weakness to overpower our strengths. And our strengths, though you've been born again supernaturally, you have supernatural power, are no match for your weakness in the hands of Delilah. Now, here's the story that I want to really get to us about Samson and Delilah. If we get this, we've got the whole thing. See, only one thing could stop Samson. He was unstoppable, except for one thing. And that one thing was Samson's weakness. You are unstoppable. I'm unstoppable. Nothing can stop us except one thing. Your weakness, my weakness. That's it. You can have the abundant life. You can have the life you've always wanted. You can have it. You've been called for it. Only one thing can stop us: our weakness and Delilah. So how does this roll out? I mean, what does Delilah do? Does she buy into this? Does she say, yeah, I'll do it? Well, of course she does. She's Delilah. Judges 16:6 says this. So Delilah said to Samson, now tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. Now, she's about as discreet as concrete, right? I mean, you know, now, and here's what you got to get. No, she's not saying, hey, big boy, you know, tell me why you're so strong. You know, it wasn't like that. I mean, she just writes, says it out there. Tell me how you could be tied up and subdued. Now, you got to realize Delilah is smart. Delilah is deceptive. Delilah is subtle. And she's just not blurting out her deceptive plan here to Samson. And Samson, though he still has his eyes, is not that blind. I mean, you know, Samson's got to be able to see through this, just blurting this out. Samson's got to be able to see better than that. And so what I'm wanting you to see is something's going on here. There's something happening that we've got to be able to see. Or if we don't, we're going to say, no, nobody's that stupid, and this is not a true story. So I'm just going to project some things to you. Now, I believe that Samson probably was intoxicated a lot. Now, his Nazirite vow did not include, and we talked about this last time, his Nazirite vow did not include his drinking wine. That was his mama's. So I believe he was intoxicated. I believe that was a part of it. And then, you know, what were they doing? Were they just playing around here and cutting up and kidding, you know? And, you know, hey, my big hunk, you know, how can I tie you up and subdue you? Well, that was probably, I think, gaming and the fun and all was involved in it. I was at pillow talk. I'm sure with Samson and his love for women, it was pillow talk. It was involved in it as well. But really, how did she get him to buy into this thing? Because as I began reading, there's three times that she's going to have to project this to him, and three times he's going to tell her a fib, and then three times he stays in this thing. How does she get him to buy into this thing? And I want to project to you my thoughts, okay? And you can agree or not agree as we work through it. You may see what I see, but I know that Samson liked three things. He liked riddles. He liked games. Remember the riddle he did with the lion and the honey we talked about the last time? He killed this lion with his bare hands and the honey grew in it. He made a riddle of it, and then he played this game with these 30 guys. You know, if you win, I'll buy you a wardrobe, and if I win, you buy me a wardrobe. And, you know, and it was this game, and he always was doing these games and these riddles and things like that. And so he liked riddles, and he liked games, and he liked women. So I think Delilah, along with Samson getting into it, Delilah was good at this game. You know, Delilah plays along well here, and I think they create their own tie-up bedroom game. You know, adult game, and you see what I'm talking about, and maybe you agree or maybe you don't, but something's happening. You know, something's going on here. So here's what Samson says. In Judges 16:7. Samson answered her, "Well, if anyone ties me with seven flesh thongs that have not been dried, I'll be as weak as any other man." Does he want to be tied? I mean, and then the rulers, there they are, of the Philistines, and I want you to see this. Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her seven fresh thongs that had not been dried, and she tied him. Now, what I want you to see is he's not asleep. And a little later, he is. In fact, he's got to be nearly passed out because of what's happening to him, and we'll look at that in a moment. But when he's asleep, it says he's asleep. He's not asleep. He's letting her tie him up. There's something about this that Samson's enjoying. And so she ties him up. And then with men hidden in the room, now that's a little weird, but with men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the thongs as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. So it seems that he was enjoying this tie-up game that Delilah and him had created. Now, Samson was obviously and surely the strongest tool in the shed. But Samson was not the sharpest tool in the shed. But how many of us have ever looked back at something kind of dumb we did and said, "How did I get tied up in that?" Yeah. See, you are the strongest tool in the shed. Stop it. You are the strongest tool in the shed. But sometimes you're not the sharpest tool in the shed, especially when it comes to Delilah. Okay. Verse 10. So then Delilah said to Samson, "You have made a fool of me. You've lied to me." And I'm thinking, what? You're the one who's making a fool of Samson. You're manipulating, and this is a key to understanding Delilah. Delilah is the queen of manipulation. And every time she's manipulating him, you'll see it as we go through it. "You have made a fool of me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied." He said, "If anyone ties me..." "Ties me securely," you got to make it really tight, "ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. And then with men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. So again, we see that he's enjoying this game. He's getting something out of it. I don't understand how in the world he could continue allowing her to tie him up to subdue him unless he was getting some sort of pleasure and enjoyment from this game. Now, I want to make a point. Delilah, whether it's a girly man Delilah or whether it's a female Delilah, they're fun people. And I'm not talking about sensually. I'm talking about they're just fun to go off with. They're fun to go out to eat with. They're fun people. They create fun. They just create pleasure and enjoyment and fun for people to enjoy initially. Initially, they seem fun. And then they start wearing on you. And then they just wear you out. And this is what's happening here. You're going to see it as we move on through here. So here's the next deal. Judges 16:13 says this. Delilah then said to Samson, "Until now you have been making a fool of me and lying to me." There's that manipulation thing. "Tell me how you can be tied." And he replied, "If you weave..." Now, this is really weird. If you weave the seven braids of my head, or his hair, if you weave my hair, the seven braids of my head, into the fabric of the loom and tighten it with a pin, I'll be as weak as any other man. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a loom work, but a loom has a top beam and a bottom beam, and these threads come off the top beams and the bottom beams, and then this shuttle goes back and forth. And every time the shuttle goes back and forth, the threads do this. And so he's talking about weaving his hair. He's got a long hair. He's never had it cut. Weaving his hair into this fabric. Now, this is weird, right? I mean, there's got to be some pain into this. And, you know, I'm thinking... So while he was sleeping or passed out or whatever, because this would have been hurt, Delilah took his seven braids of his head and wove them into the fabric and tightened them with a pin. And again, she called out to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from the sleep and pulled the pin and the loom in the fabric. Well, at least this time he was asleep or passed out or whatever, but he was there. But what I want you to see here is that now she's getting close. His hair. She's had his hand. She's had her hand on his secret, on his life, on his strength. She's close. But how many times have you gotten close to Delilah? Close to greed? How many times has greed gotten her hands on you? See, I see it all the time. So many Christ followers get woven in to the world because of greed. This is the trips of Delilah. Delilah wants to get her hands on your strength and on your life. Judges 16:15. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when..." How many of us have ever heard that? "Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. How can you say you love me?" Babies are created like that. But how can you say I love you when You don't confide in me. There's that manipulation again. Now, I want you to see something. She doesn't say she loves him, right? How can you say you love me? And what Delilah always does is take the love that is given her and manipulate it. Delilah doesn't love anyone. I don't care if you're married to a Delilah. They don't love anyone. They don't love their own children. They only love themselves. This is Delilah. And your supernatural birth and your supernatural strength and your supernatural power is no match for Delilah when she gets her hands on your strength. Let me read on. This is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. With such nagging and prodded, she prodded him day after day. Nagging, ladies, nagging. I'm not going to say a lot about it. Just wanted to stand out because I'm going to comment on nagging here in a moment. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. And here it is. So he told her everything. Now, you remember when we studied Potiphar's wife that she day after day accosted Joseph. She went after him. She was trying to get him to go to bed with her day after day. But that was lust. This is Delilah. Delilah's deadly. This is greed in its extreme. I mean, Delilah is deadly. And just like that, it's day after day after day after day. And well, here's the point that I want you to get on the nagging thing. See, no matter if it's a girly man, Delilah, or if it's a woman, Delilah, you can't resist forever. You can only resist so long. And eventually, you're going to give up everything. None of us can, no matter if we're born again and had a supernatural birth. No matter how much power we've had in the past and how many gifts of the Spirit we can operate in, no matter what kind of a supernatural lifestyle we live, none of us can resist Delilah forever. Verse 17. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazarite set apart to God since how long? Since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers. There they are, the Philistines. I want you to know that the rulers will do anything to get your power, to get your strength. Rulers of the Philistines, come back once more. He has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with silver in their hands and drooling from their mouths. They'll pay any price to get you. Now, how did she know that he had told her everything? Well, he went back to birth. Told her about his relationship with God, the Nazarite vow. He told her about, I'm sure, about everything. He told her about the lion and the honey and the riddle and the 30 guys that he had made the wager with and the his first wife. Told her about having to take out the Philistines and taking the jawbone, and 1,000 Philistines fell. And told her everything. Told her about the prostitutes. Told her everything. She was so convinced that he had told her that she calls the rulers. Said, we got him this time. And they were so convinced they had him, they brought the silver, drooling at their mouths. They've got Samson. Verse 19. Having put him to sleep on her lap, the lap of Delilah, She called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his head, hair, and so began to subdue him. And his strength left him. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before. Everything's going to be fine. I'll get through this just like I've got through every other thing before and shake myself free." So here's Samson. His tummy's full. His physical needs are gratified. He gets his blankie and he cuddles up, and Delilah gets his head in her lap. And it's there that she does her work, in the lap of Delilah. You know, and we're going to ask, you know, how can he be so dumb? How can he do this? You know, after 3 times, surely he would have seen through it. You know, why? And the cliche is born. Love is blind. And in Samson's situation, it truly was. Love is blind. Especially the love of Delilah. And what, see, Delilah doesn't love anyone. Just Delilah. What she does is spin the web, so that she can entrap people with her fictitious love. And they come in and they get trapped. This is what she does. She used Samson just as Judas Iscariot would use Jesus centuries later. Sell him for silver. Do you know any Delilahs? Whether it's a girly man Delilah or whether it's a woman Delilah. Do you know any Delilahs who just use people? Agree. You know them. See, if you stay around that, if you stay in the presence of Delilah, she will sell you. You know, and it really, the silver didn't buy Samson. The silver bought Delilah. And she will use you. And she will sell you. And never ever care a thing about you. Verse 20. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free. You know, I'll get out of this situation like I've got out of every other situation." No, you're not, Samson. No, you're not. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. That what? Come on. That what? Is that possible? Is that possible? In a lot of people's doctrines, that's not true. That can't be true. It's not what the Bible says. The Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in a prison. Now, I'm not going to get into a theological discussion if the Lord can leave you. I don't think we need to. I think it's clear enough. At least he will leave you in your sins. He will leave you in the lap of Delilah. And it's there that you're emasculated. It's there. Your vision is gouged out for your life. It's there you're seized and you're put in bronze shackles. It's there you're taken to places that you don't want to go. And you have to be forced to do things in life that you never thought you would ever do. But, verse 22. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. His supernatural strength came back because he's going to pray. We're going to talk about it later. But he's going to pray, say, "God, give me my strength one more time." He prayed. He renewed his relationship with God. His hair grew. His strength came back. His power came back. The Spirit came back upon him. But I want you to see something. His vision never came back. His vision for his life, his vision for whatever God had for him, the purposes of God for his life, the purpose of the kingdom of God, never came back to him. I see it nearly weekly. I see Delilah at work. I see somebody sold out to the kingdom of God, giving, serving, worshiping, praying. And Delilah gets his head or her head in their lap. And then it seems like eventually they want to come back. You know, they want to come back to church. They want to come back to serving God. They want to come back and worship again and pray again like it once was. But it's never the same because you don't get the vision back. I'll tell you quickly what happened here afterwards. The Philistines had Samson now, so they've taken him down to Gaza, and they're going to pitch this big celebration, this big party. 3,000 Philistines are invited in this big, big building and complex, and so they're going to show off. And what is the celebration is about is how Dagon, the god of the Philistines, is greater and more powerful than Jehovah, the God of Israel. And so they're going to show off, and they're going to bring Samson out. They're going to mock him, and I think they're going to eventually kill him. And, you know, and they bring him out, and they put him between these two pillars. Now, you would have thought, would you not, that they would have at least given him one more haircut. Wouldn't you think? We need to give this guy a haircut. They didn't. Now, knowingly, because they didn't have give him one more haircut, Samson had one more supernatural event left in him. We've all got at least one more powerful supernatural event left in us. So they take Samson out, and they put him between these two pillars, and they chain him up, and he says, "Oh, Lord God, one more time. Just one more time. Give me my strength one more time." And God heard his prayer. The relationship was renewed. The Spirit of God came upon him, and he pushed those pillars apart, and the whole structure fell, killing 3,000 Philistines, but killing Samson. Samson died with the Philistines, died with the enemies, whose women he had used and one he had fallen in love with, who destroyed him, Delilah. What happened to Delilah? Do you think? Was she there? Was she there? I mean, it would have seemed likely that she could have been. I mean, she was very used in his capture. It seemed like that she would have definitely been invited. We're not told. But I hope she was. I hope she was. Be a fitting demise for Delilah. I want to end just kind of talking to you women. The whole series, you know, has been about wicked women and trying to help women not be wicked. But we all get something from this, as men as well. Ladies, treasure and don't trample your man. Treasure his love. Don't trample his heart. Because you can. His love for you, his heart, is far more valuable than silver. Don't hide his enemies in your closet. What I mean is, when you get into arguments and fusses, don't bring up his past and his enemies. Don't bring those things out to tie him up and try to subdue him. Don't keep his enemies in your closet. Don't keep your razors and your scissors put away. Don't snip even at his strengths. Don't snip at his masculinity. Don't snip at his worth. 'Cause see, it's all about you. Don't gouge out his vision for his life and for your life and for the life of your family. Because you can. See, you and your family and your children are so entwined into his strengths and his worth and his masculinity and his vision. And if you'll allow it to grow and grow, his vision and his strengths, you're the beneficiary. You're the one who's going to get it all. You and your children will benefit. It's about you. He loves you. Treasure his love. Don't trample his heart. Don't be Delilah. Let me pray. Father, thank you for our time. We ask you, Lord, to take what we've heard, apply in our lives, avoid wickedness. Lord, I pray that the seed has fallen upon good soil. It's going to produce much fruit, 160, 30-fold. Lord, I ask you now to use this and put it into our hearts that we'll have an understanding about Samson and Delilah that we've never had before. Teach us, Lord, that though we're born again in the spiritual, we have powerful gifts resident within us, and that we live a supernatural lifestyle. None of that is a match for Delilah if we succumb to our supernatural weakness. And I ask you, Lord, just to stick this in our hearts. Let us remember it always.